Well, this is the beginning of the most powerful week in the church calendar. And it's such an exciting beginning to be able to enter into this next week of just reflecting on Jesus' work on the cross, His death, His resurrection. And to enter into the time of just reflection and imagining what it would have been like. I'm back after a couple of weeks. I took a little bit of time just to rest. I didn't really go anywhere or do anything. I just wanted some time to be able to rest as Pastor Sarah and Pastor Lynn brought the sermons to you. And so I'm glad to be back, and I have some new energy to be able to enter into Holy Week, and I'm just excited for what lies ahead. Maybe more excited than the staff who retired, but they will also bring it, and they've been putting so much effort into everything. And I'll get to tell you, I'm really excited because one of my first days back, Gaylene and I sat, and she walked me through all of her creative energy leading up to Holy Week, and starting with today, and then Good Friday, and then Easter Sunday. And we had goosebumps as we were going just through it. Like, it wasn't the full thing, but just thinking about what lies ahead this Holy Week, and we were really excited about it. You know, we're going to be beginning with Wednesday, which is a worship night, and then a time of singing, reflecting and focusing on Jesus. And then, of course, we'll do Good Friday and just start right from the very first song, the very first prayer, and just jump right into it. And then, of course, we'll gather together on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, and just be able to celebrate together. But we'll wait until then to celebrate, right? How are the 40 days of prayer going? It's a long time. 40 days is a long time to be able to dedicate to prayer and for some of us for fasting, as well as just taking time out to focus on Jesus and to focus on God. And I hope that if you've done it for a short time, or maybe you're waiting until today to start, or waiting for a couple of days to start, whatever your plan is or whatever works for you, I would encourage you just to take some extra time this week, especially to just reflect on what God is doing in your life and what God did for you, what Jesus did for you in this final week before we enter into Holy Week. Because you see, it's a week that's filled with so much conflict, with pain, with mystery, but also victory, in the most powerful week in the Christian year. And it's worth taking time to pause and to reflect and to listen to what God says to you, what He says to me, what He says to us. There's a South African liturgist named John Vandelaar, and he wrote this: "The King is coming. Our God arrives clothed in frail human flesh, riding a meek donkey's foal. Yet this is not the first time you've come to us, O God. The history of human affairs is the history of your arrival among us as the Creator, the purpose giver, the liberator, the prophet's voice and the priest's desire. The story of each of our lives is the story of your coming to us as the comforter, as a friend, as the example, as the challenger, as the abundant giver of life. And so we praise you. We open our eyes this week to your presence with us, Lord, and be glorified among us." So this is a liturgy that prepares our hearts, that joins or that invites our hearts to participate in Palm Sunday. It wasn't a wonderful participation to be able to walk up to the front and to bring these palm branches and lay them at Jesus as He enters Jerusalem, and just imagining that happening within our own auditorium. And the thing is, with Holy Week, sometimes what we want to do is we want to skip all of the hard parts and get to Easter Sunday, don't we? That's the temptation, isn't it? I just want to eat the mini eggs. I just want to eat the turkey. I just want to get to the fun part. But sometimes we have to just pause and just journey through the hard part, through the Lent, through the lament of Easter. And it's so important for us to embrace that so that Easter Sunday can be that much more special. I don't know if you've taken the time to... Well, probably you have taken the time to watch like a series on Netflix or one of the streaming apps that are out there. And then there's a series that might have many seasons. It might have quite a few episodes. And when you when you have them all in front of you, you can start in season one and just kind of like, okay, that's pretty decent. But what's season six like, I wonder? And how do you get from season one to season? And sometimes we have this temptation to skip to season six and maybe the last episode of season six. And we're like, oh, that's how it ends. Okay. And it might be the final episode of the whole series. And we're like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Sort of. But how did we get here? What were all the steps? What were all the seasons like before we got here? And if it was before streaming apps, we would have said, okay, when you read a book, like a good novel, and you're like, wow, this is a strong beginning. This is exciting. And it's like, I just want to skip to the end to see how it ends. But then we miss a lot of the story that unfolds in between, don't we? And it's important to read through that story, because otherwise we're like, I don't really get it. Like, how did that and that and that and that happen? And there's so much that we miss when we skip to the end. And so I would encourage you, don't skip to the end. We know the end already. But take some time to just pause in the middle of this story, in the middle of this week, to be able to reflect on all of the hard things that Jesus went through, all of the challenges that Jesus went through in his journey towards the cross, and just experience the story, experience the Lent, the lament, as we go through this Palm Sunday, as there is the Maundy Thursday, and Jesus with his disciples on that Last Supper with them, on, and then going into the Garden of Gethsemane and struggling there, and then Good Friday and Holy Saturday, where there's just nothing except the tomb and darkness. And of course, we'll get to Resurrection Sunday, but let's wait on that one, right? Let's wait on it. So Palm Sunday begins our journey to the cross of Jesus, this week of controversy and pain. And as we reach the climax of Lent, to sit in the pain and the sorrow and the injustice of Jesus' trial, persecution, the death, trying to sit in the reflection and lament instead of just going to the end. Because Palm Sunday is not just a random, spontaneous event. Sometimes we read the story and we think, well, Jesus just sent the disciples in and they got this colt and somebody challenged them and they like, the Lord needs it, and they seem to understand it. It was like, okay, this seems all kind of random. And then Jesus sits on the cloak and randomly people came and they put palm branches and coats down. And it was this beautiful event. But friends, it was actually prophesied in Zechariah, where it says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And so it's not random. It's something that was intended. It's something that needed to happen so that we could recognize the Messiah, so that we could recognize Jesus, that we could recognize the prophecy that was being fulfilled as Jesus rode into Jerusalem. And the thing is, we need to understand, we need to remember that he didn't come on a horse. He came on a donkey, not even a full-grown donkey. It was a colt. And kings who are about to face what Jesus would face would ride in on a horse, symbolizing authority and power and readiness for battle, to sit above the people so that they could look up to him. But Jesus was on a colt. You see, a donkey colt is not fully grown until they're about 4 years old. And so Jesus was on this colt, and depending on what breed, it was between 3 and 5 feet tall at the shoulder. That's where they measure it. And depending on that, the breed and the age of the donkey, it was probably under 4 years, but we don't know how many under 4 years. I'm sure it wasn't a newborn because it wouldn't be able to hold him, right? So it was probably a little more than a year at least. But then if he came in a horse, it would be about between 5 and 7 feet tall at the shoulders, depending on the breed. Again, maybe even bigger than that. But Jesus would have been way up, and the people would have had to look up to him. But Jesus was lower. He was lower, and people would be able to look into his face and into his eyes. And he wasn't standing over them. He was with them, even though he was on this colt. So he was honored as a king, but not as a king of one who came with just power and authority over them, but one who came to serve them. And he came as a king, not representing war, but representing peace. You see, Jesus was going into the battle of his life. And a king who would go into battle would have a horse symbolizing the power. But then for Jesus, it was a donkey symbolizing peace, that he wasn't coming to have the victory of fighting physically, but surrendering physically his life. And he knew what lied ahead. And he came with authority, but he didn't exercise that authority, because if he came on a horse, the authority over others would have been prevalent. But he came as a donkey, and so it was a submission to others, submission to death, even death on the cross, because he knew his purpose. And so it wasn't power that came with a horse, but it was love and trust over all else. And instead of looking for a position, he was looking to empower the people. He came for us. He came for you. He came for me. He came for the people who were laying down the branches. He came for his disciples. He came for humanity. So I want us to try to imagine ourselves in the story. Imagine yourself in the story. As the video led us, there's sometimes it's helpful to enter into a story, to imagine ourselves in the narrative image of where we would place ourselves. Would you be on the sidelines, just kind of observing? Would you be singing? Would you be laying down the palm branches? Would you be putting your cloak down on the road? Would you want to be the one putting the cloak on the donkey? Would you be shouting praise towards Jesus? So imagine yourself in the scene of Palm Sunday. If you need to, I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions and lead you in this. And so if you want to close your eyes, if that helps, you can do that. No one's going to judge you for that. I would say everyone close your eyes, but some people just don't, and that's okay. But to imagine what it was like watching Jesus, imagine what it was like on that road to Jerusalem. What are the sounds that you hear? You might hear the clippity clop of the donkey. You might hear the shouts of the people. You might hear the insults of the Pharisees. You might hear the questions that people are asking. What does it sound like? What does it smell like while you're there? It's in the desert. What does the desert smell like? Do you feel the heat of the warm sun on you? As you feel the heat of the warm sun in the desert, does it feel too hot? Or is there a cool breeze that's coming in? Do you feel comfortable, or do you just feel totally uncomfortable in all of this? Or are you just caught up in it all? And as you see Jesus coming, would you lay down your coat? Would you lay down your branch? Would you say anything? Would you be praising him? Or would you be a little more reserved? As you look around, what do you see on the faces of others? Do you see just an abandonment of pride as they shout and as they celebrate Jesus? And then as you look at Jesus on the colt and you see his face, what expression does he have on his face? Is it joy? Is it laughter? Is it love? Does he have a deep sadness on his face, knowing what he's about to go into? Or does he seem to just relish the beauty of the moment? When the Pharisees try to ruin the party and tell him to get everyone to stop, and Jesus says, if I tell them to stop, the stones will cry out. What comes to your mind? Was he laughing? Would the stones really cry out? Does he have that kind of power, but he doesn't use it? In these moments, do you care what others think or just what Jesus thinks? And as you focus your attention on Jesus himself, imagine him scanning the crowd, and suddenly he sees you. He makes eye contact with you. And as you stare into his eyes, what do you feel? This is a king. This is God. And you want to look away, but you're drawn in. And naturally, your being wants to feel shame, but it melts away. And all you feel is love. Friends, this is the moment of just Palm Sunday. But as we go throughout this week, I would encourage you that as you listen to your devos, as you read scripture, and maybe you'll read the Holy Week story in the Gospels, and as you take time to experience yourself in the story, when it's Jesus in its trial, when it's he's carrying his cross, when he's being poured out on the cross, when he dies on the cross, when he's laid in the womb, or might even be when he's with his disciples in that last supper. Try to imagine yourself in that scene and to experience the story firsthand, imagining yourself being there. And this can be in a moment of meditation, of reading scripture, of prayer. And as you do it, imagine yourself just having conversation with Jesus as it unfolds. And to enter into that space that Jesus invites us into to experience Him in this story. You see, in the next week, we'll see how these branches that were laid down by the people essentially turned into harsh words and into stones. And people who honored Him as a king will shout at Him and condemn Him to death. That's how quick it can happen, isn't it? Where their praises that they offered to Him on the road to Jerusalem turned into condemnation. And where we have a here we have a celebration in days, there will be anger and accusation hurled at Jesus, condemning Him to death. Today He's seen as a hero, as a king. And Jesus represents a hope to an oppressed people. And they're looking for a physical and a political liberation for themselves. But then when He don't get what is expected of Him and from Him, they turn on Him. They turn on Him. As Holy Week unfolds, where in this story would you be? First, on Palm Sunday, for many of us, we laid down the branches and we greeted each other as we laid down the branches. It was a beautiful moment. Some of us were just in a meditative state of just taking the moment in. Others of us were just waving it like wild people and throwing it down and just enjoying the moment. We all have different reactions to that, don't we? We all have different reactions to the Easter story, the Holy Week story. And we go from this celebration to, if we read the Gospels, for Jesus going into the temple courts and turning over tables and causing a ruckus within the house of prayer and calling out the injustices that there were around Him of making it into a den of thieves. And how we go to Maundy Thursday, where Jesus beautifully washes the disciples' feet and shares that last meal with them and has communion with them in the first time and says, "Remember Me in this way." And then He goes into the garden and He agonizes over what's ahead because He knows what is ahead. He's like, "Lord, if You could just take this cup from Me, please take it, but Your will, not Mine." And He surrenders to what's ahead. Then He's arrested and there's a ruckus there, and then He goes into the trial and it's totally unfair and unjust and He doesn't get a fair trial, but He's beaten and He's whipped. They give Him a crown of thorns, and there's so much pain that He endures. And then they put Him on the cross, and they mock Him as He dies, a painful death. And then they put Him in the tomb and roll the stone in front of the tomb. And you can imagine that they were standing there thinking, "Is this it? Is this it?" So imagine ourselves experiencing the story firsthand. Where would we be? Where would we stand? What would we say? What would we do? Will you pray with me? God, we thank You for the mystery, the pain of this story. And Lord, today we celebrate Jesus as King. We recognize Him as King and we surrender to Him, to You as King. And Lord, we thank You for that image, for that story of being able to just enter into it and to celebrate Your Son who just came humbly on this colt, who gave us this opportunity to have salvation, who came not as one who would just conquer and power over, but one who would lay down His life for us. Because, Lord, if You had not done that, we would not be able to be here and do this and to worship You and to remember and to honor You as a King. And so, Lord, as this begins Holy Week, as we focus on Your Son, as we focus on the sacrifice, as we focus on this salvation experience,